And another thing, you're listening to KPCRadio.com. That's not KPCRradio.com, as Robert likes to say.
Yeah,
my name's James. Robert's with me.
Hi.
And it's the start of a new season, new semester. It's good to be back. That smell in the studio, I was missing it. You can't see my sarcastic face.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Pretend it's a good smell while you're not in the room. Did you miss the smell? I bet you missed
the smell. I did not miss the smell, not at all. I miss you.
It's a very unique, you, pungent though. Odor. Maybe it is just me, then. Maybe that's what you're missing. I don't know. Anyways, so our show for the season is going to be about the NFL. It's going to be about all the stuff, not just the NFL, but just football, the NFL, high school football, maybe some college. And we're going to talk about all the issues going on. One player's coming out as gay.
Right.
That's a lot of controversy there. We're going to talk about how money is affected, how they're taking all our tax money because, you know, the NFL is. Why wouldn't they? Everyone else is taking our tax money. They might as well, too. And also, we're talking about the controversy with concussions in high school football.
Right.
First thing first, let's just go dive right in the deep end and go into the... What is the name of this player that's come out?
His name is Michael Sam.
Michael Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Two first names?
Yeah. That's good. Way to go.
Is his last name short for Samantha?
No, it's...
Samuel?
I don't know, actually.
It's an interesting name. That's not the same topic, though.
It's
I'll talk about names later.
It could be short for something. I didn't research that far because I don't have resources.
But, because that's relevant, too, not just me being stupid.
In college, he was an all-defensive SEC, that Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year for the Missouri Tigers. He was a defensive lineman. That's a pretty high ranking for him.
Is it?
So, yeah.
I have no idea about any
of
that.
No, I do, and that's high praise.
Okay.
And he came out on February 9th, I believe. And
Well, is he actually in the NFL now?
No, that's the thing. He's going to be in the draft. He left Missouri
University.
He's going
in the military.
No, well, in the NFL draft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he hasn't been selected yet to any teams. So he's waiting. Right now he's going to go through the scouting combine, which showcases the athlete's ability to run, jump, do what they're supposed to do in order for them to get drafted at a certain level.
Oh, that's nifty.
So he hasn't been yet selected to a team. But that's why it was sort of interesting that he chose this moment to come out on national television.
Do you think he did it? I mean, I don't know much about his story other than what you've told me so far. Has he said he wanted to come out to make a statement?
Actually, according to reports from ESPN, he decided that he wanted to come out because, first of all, this is kind of the interesting part of it. Hmm. His teammates knew that he was a homosexual.
His college teammates.
Yes, his college teammates knew because he came out to them and they were fine with it. Mm-hmm. And he realized at some point it was going to come out to the public. So he didn't want the media to report it. He wanted to be on camera saying it. So he
wanted to get ahead of the story,
right,
basically.
He said he wanted to own his truth. And he wanted to do it on camera. Yeah,
that's an interesting way to say it.
Yeah, so he decided to go on camera on ESPN, and then he came out. Supposedly, everybody else knew this was going to come out already onto the surface, so he didn't want to wait for anybody to just report it. That was the interesting thing. But
is it possible that with this testing you were mentioning that he won't be able to get into the draft?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You said he's not actually in the draft yet, right?
No, well,
he is
technically any player who decides to withdraw from college, mm-hmm, and declare for the draft is in it.
Oh, they is that just how it works? He has to actually drop out of college?
Well, I think he graduated.
Okay, so I'm saying I don't like him already.
Well, some people do it because they feel like they can make a living, but that's another story for another time. I know how you feel about that. But he is officially on the list of players who can be selected as part of an organization, as part of a team. So he has to wait. I believe that's in April, the draft.
So that dog and pony show you're talking about, that tells him what pick they are?
Yeah.
That's how
that works? Yeah, they come out, the general manager select a player, and then the commissioner comes out and announces it to the general public.
I watched one of those drafts once with my brothers. It was more boring than the Oscars.
I can't watch the draft. I love sports, but I cannot watch it. It's just constantly, hey, what's going on over there, Jim? Oh, yeah, this guy is warming up. He's fixing his tie, and it's just like, I don't need to see this.
Yeah.
Just tell me, give me the list. But with Michael Sam's case, what's really interesting, and obviously the reaction isn't surprising at all. A lot of the players supported him. His teammates at school supported him. Word is, and this is from Chris Mortensen, who is an ESPN NFL insider, senior insider, that a lot of the general managers in the NFL supported this decision, and the NFL itself supported his decision.
Seems like the fans aren't supporting it, though.
Some fans are not, and there were some terrible tweets.
Yeah, that's how I heard about this story. That's how I hear about anything in sports, is when the controversy comes.
Well, obviously. And,
which
and
makes me actually kind of hate the NFL recently, because it's been a lot of controversy. I should not know as much about football as I have in the last year with molestation accusations and people yelling
yeah,
at reporters. And who was it? Sherman was that the guy's name? We should talk about him
Richard
later.
Sherman, yeah.
We should talk about him after this, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's the same exact type of response we're seeing between Sherman and Sam here, is to play fans on Twitter saying these horrible things.
Really horrible. And I'm gonna read a few, and again, I will not repeat the expletives, as I'm not allowed to.
I mean, they'll be able to figure out what they are.
Right.
It is a man coming out as gay, so you know what the F word is.
Exactly. So one of them says, Michael Sam is disgusting. I doubt he gets drafted. Way to betray God.
Nice.
Another one here.
Which actually is a side note. That's a good one to start with, because there was a bunch of stories on polls taken, like half, 40% to 50% of America thinks God determines the outcome of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which is not funny, like, in a secular, let's make fun of religious way. It's funny as a religious person, too, because why are you watching the game if you already think it's been decided?
Right.
Doesn't that take out the point?
That actually does. It's like, well, there's no point because I know he's already stirred up the pot.
That's not an anti-religion point. That's an anti-your religion point. Why do you care? Why would God care?
I don't know, but
doesn't he want to sit back and find out, too?
He certainly was heavily favoring the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But another one here. I'm sorry, but there's no room for Jason Collins, the NBA player who came out last year, who retired. Hmm. And Michael Sam playing
He came out after he retired, right?
Right.
Sorry to interrupt.
I think he was in transition.
Oh, I see.
And they wanted him to play, but he decided to retire. I'm not entirely sure what went on behind those doors, but this follows with Jason Collins and Michael Sam. Playing a man sport isn't anything. There is nothing manly about what they're doing.
Yeah, man sport.
Michael Sam's father has failed. F all his accomplishments, records, and
oh, that's
et
probably the different F word then.
Yeah, and then this is also a big one here. Michael Sam, first openly gay athlete in the NFL, that's freaking disgusting, should be kicked out of the NFL and the USA.
Well, at least he actually said freaking and didn't.
I mean, it's unbelievable that
kicked out of the USA.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. That's a man's sport. This is a man's country.
It's the reaction doesn't surprise me. And look, for every negative tweet there has been, there have also been positive tweets from other star athletes who support Michael Sam's cause. But one of the issues, and I brought this up to you when we spoke about this, is they're asking, ESPN went around and asked former NFL players and NFL GMs and coaches, if a player told you that he or she was gay, what would you say? How do you feel about that? And what they all seem to do, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to do this, is kind of sidestep it. They say, well, all we care about is winning. Mm-hmm. And as long as he helps us win, we don't care.
Right, and you had a negative connotation to that, whereas I didn't see it.
It just seems like they're finding a way to justify it. It's
like you can be gay if you want, but you have to be good at football.
Exactly. So long as you're good, we're fine with you being a homosexual. But if you're not good, we have an issue. And I think that's ridiculous.
Well, you're reading into that. That's my opinion. I might as well just put that
absolutely
out there. You think that? I think it's kind of the opposite. I think they're skirting the issue because of the ick factor. I think they just don't want to talk about it. I think they're just trying to brush it under the rug.
That could be.
But reading the other tweets, I would not be surprised if you're right about at least a small percentage of them where they're saying, I got to deal with these guys.
That's the issue. Some of the coaches say, oh, well, you know, the NFL isn't ready for this. The only response you should probably have is when somebody says, how would you feel if you have a gay player? Is I wouldn't care. Because it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that some of them are still uncomfortable for whatever reason. Because it's a man's game, supposedly.
Yeah.
And they think that has something to do with playing the sport. So I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel there's a comedian, McDonald, and he made a great point like a decade ago. It was really this was before the whole gay movement really flourished on the internet and everyone, like all this awareness. So it was still like a time in the closet. And he said, the reason he thinks straight men are scared of gay men coming out is because they are afraid of being treated by the gay men like they treat women. And I thought that was a brilliant
point. That is
point.
Really interesting.
And he said it way funnier than I just said it. But that was his main point there, is that they're thinking in the locker rooms, oh, there's going to be a gay man in the locker room checking me out and trying to grab my junk and slapping my butt. It's like, no, that's not what a gay guy does. That's what a douche straight guy does to women. Well, I'm sure there probably are gay guys that do that, but that's not something that is gay. That's something that is a jerk. Because I can't say the words I want to say either on the show.
I actually had a friend who had the exact same response to this. I asked him, how do you feel? How would you feel if you were in this position? You were a player and one of your teammates came out. And he said to me, well, I wouldn't want a gay guy checking me out in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I responded with, well, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's what goes through their head when...
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I think it would happen, but I think the straight guys are checking out each other too. So,
it's interesting, the reaction. People are still not comfortable with this whole
idea. Yeah, the irony of a lot of straight guys who are homophobic is that they try to put gay men down as beneath them, but in reality, it seems, they're actually afraid that the gay guys are above them and they're going to subject them like women. Like, they're afraid of being dominated by gay men the way they want to dominate
women.
Yeah,
it's an interesting complex.
It's a big projection there.
But I think...
Oh, and another point, and this was made on the Young Turks radio show.
Cenk
Uygur, I watch that show all the time. And he made a great point. He said, I have news for you guys. You've already been in locker rooms with gay guys. They just didn't come out to you. It's practically guaranteed statistically that you have been in a locker room naked with a homosexual.
Yeah.
That's just a statistical guarantee. You just didn't know it.
Yeah, because they haven't felt the freedom to come out.
It's amazing how much
that
realization makes them uncomfortable. I had a relative once who had met one of my gay friends but didn't know it. And this was years later. He said, oh, I don't like gay guys. I'd never want to have one in my house. I said, you already had one in your house. He's like, what are you talking about? It's like, my friend over there. He was. Well, I didn't say his name. I said, I had a friend. He was gay. He came into the house. You met him. You shook his hand. He flipped out. What are you talking about? I shook a gay guy's hand. Who was it? He's like drilling me. Who was it? Who was it? Who was it?
I'm sorry. That reaction is priceless.
It's hilarious. Well, I couldn't help. That's one reason why I kind of told him and didn't tell him the name, because I just wanted to see his brain boil.
That is, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is what do people go through mentally when they hear something like this? It's, but here's what I want to emphasize about Michael Sam's situation. You and I come from academia.
Would you say I come from academia?
Well,
we're
involved in it.
Yeah.
We believe that through reason, you can educate an entire populace and help them understand why gay rights are the same as straight rights.
Yeah.
Why this is an important issue. However, it seems like if any real change is going to happen, it's going to come from something that is not normally considered part of academia, sports. Mm. If you can get people used to the idea, sadly, I have to say this, used to the idea, it's like we're training kids to ride a bicycle here. We're conditioning. If they can get used to the idea that a lot of these athletes – are homosexual, mm-hmm. or they can be, and that they will have gay teammates, they will have even transgender teammates,
mm-hmm.
maybe that will change things in society, especially when you hit home. Like, football is popular, but baseball is America's pastime some people. And if you start having athletes come out and feel free to let themselves known as homosexuals, it might change things in society rather than from an academic standpoint. It seems like people are more resistant to those intellectuals, quote unquote, telling them what they should think,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a player who says, hey, I'm the best player in this sport. I'm on the cover of every magazine and I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could do something. So I see a big amount of change coming from sports. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that was the way... You are giving America a lot of credit, I think, because you're saying this could change it, like just said. But I don't give them that much credit, because I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. At least maybe now that you're saying it more clearly on the air and I'm thinking about, maybe it'll start a chain reaction is the best I could think of.
That's probably
what I'm
trying to.
More people will come out.
Right.
Because, this one guy probably won't matter. Because to me, it's just the spectacle of the week. He's going to be forgotten about in a month. But maybe there's going to be another like a chain reaction. Like I said, then this team will have one. Two guys come out, and we're all suddenly, and then maybe the problem I have with this is the same problem I talked about with racism, which is what we should get to for Sherman.
Okay, great.
So that's a good segue. The problem, and I talked to, I think I mentioned this to McKeever. You remember Professor McKeever?
Yes, I do.
talking about how you can't just mask racism with political correctness. If someone says the N-word, you can't just say, hey, you shouldn't say that word. The point isn't not saying the word. I can say the word right now, and it wouldn't mean anything because I don't mean it, even though we had a past episode where that's apparently different. But
right.
you get what I'm saying.
Yep.
I don't have malice behind it. The point is not to think it. So
Absolutely.
When you take the racism and you lacquer it with political correctness, you're just sending it, for lack of a better term, into the closet. So now the racists and the homophobes, they're going to retreat and they're going to still be festering. Oh, I have to. That's the evil side of tolerance, because tolerance is actually not a good thing. Tolerance means you're just okay with letting it by, I guess. You know, you might tolerate that fly that's buzzing by the ceiling that you can't reach. I mean, acceptance is what we're supposed to be going for. Understanding is what we're supposed to be going for.
You mean understanding why these guys say what they say?
No, understanding each other so that you don't accept, you don't just tolerate, okay, there are going to be gays here and I have to deal with it. You should understand that it's not something to be dealt with. It's not important. So when you just brush it under the rug, like which is what I fear is going to happen, a lot of people are going to – because when they think that when someone who announces themselves as gay and they're drafted in the NFL, since they're the ones, you know, quote, in the closet now because we're shaming them for being racist and homophobes, they claim that they're oppressed now. Because I hear that all the time from religious extremists. Why are you pushing your agenda? We hear that all the time, the gay agenda.
All the time you
hear
it.
That's almost proof for what I'm trying to say is, I mean, how else could they come up with something so ass backwards as the gay agenda when they say, you're pushing your morals on me? We're literally not. We're literally just reacting to yours.
Yeah.
So we're not pushing anything here. But they think they are because they've been taught by political correctness that it's just not okay to say it in public. Kind of like the words we were just discussing in the book, the booth, right?
Yeah.
The F word and the C words and all that. Yeah, we had fun. We laughed about saying in the booth. But you know, the FCC wants to slap us on the hand, you know, and just say, ooh, you can't say that on the radio. And so what do we do? It's just, you tell a child, don't do X. What does the child do?
X.
Immediately does X.
Yeah, right away.
So it's the same thing with racism. You tell a racist, oh, you can't say the N word in public. He'll go, yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll close his door and go, N word. You know, just it's the same thing with the homophobia.
The question is, to your point, what do you do when, I know you said the key is to understand. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the key is to understand each other so that we won't be racist or prejudiced or homophobic. However, what do you do when people in society are that way? Do you tolerate what they're saying and let them say it? Or do you say to them, don't say it? It seems like when you say don't, it gets worse for them. They, like you said, it festers. They have more resentment. They find other nasty outlets, other radio stations they might even use to get their ideas out. If you let them say it, are you then letting them step all over the people that they're ostracizing?
This is a good point. I didn't expect to go here today, but might as well since we have the time. Because there was 4 years ago, I think it was. It was in Florida at a family restaurant. A gay couple was kicked out.
Okay.
And this is actually where we're going to be turned libertarian for a minute, which is probably going to surprise some people. And the gay couple shared a small peck, and you know they weren't like making out or anything. And the restaurant owner comes over and says, this is family restaurant. I don't like that. Get out. And everyone, you know, obviously they flipped their lids. And they did half what I thought was awesome. They did kind of like a boycott saying, don't go here, they're bigoted, blah, blah, blah. But then they also tried to press for laws. This is illegal, you can't do that. The laws technically already exist because that's a protected class. And so they tried to bring the law into it saying, you must serve these homosexual people. And I actually disagreed. And I said it then, and I wish I had like had it recorded. I wish I had this show then so I could have it on the internet.
Well,
on
now
air.
It's on the air.
Yeah, but now it's a post-diction, not a pre-diction, so I could be making it up, right? But I said it right then. This is a bad idea because if the KKK walked into a black man's diner in full robes and said, give me a burger, I would love for that black man to say, get the hell out of here. I do not want to serve
you. Yeah, you're not allowed here. We have a right to refuse service.
Under the same law, he would have to serve those KKK guys. And I think that's wrong. And not only was I right halfway about the prediction, but it showcases the hypocrisy that the left can have sometimes. And I wish I had it. I wasn't prepared for this show. But there was a woman who owned a restaurant in one of those southern states. It's always the southern states, right? You know, there's a shooting. Oh, Florida. You know, there's racism.
Yeah,
oh, Kentucky. You know, no fans there we have, I hope. Anyways, So this it was like a state congressman, state legislator, who walked into the restaurant, and he was well known for bills that were anti-gay. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let gays marry, don't let gays have rights, you know, whatever the case was, health insurance, partner rights, whatever it is. And so she recognized him, and she said, and she kicked him out of her restaurant. She said, no intolerance in the restaurant. That's funny. Yeah. Get out. And what happened? She was hailed as a hero all over the internet. Yeah, stick it to that homophobe. Yeah. And I'm like, that's the exact same thing they did. Is one right or wrong quote? Yeah, it happens to be. But that's still not how a democracy works.
So you're talking about the larger principle.
Yeah.
The principle shouldn't be flawed.
That's why I'm a libertarian in that sense, because I believe the principle should be you should be able to kick anyone out whenever. Because they say, oh, it's not a public business. A park is public. The post office is public. Hooters is a private restaurant. I'm not saying it was Hooters. It's just the first thing that popped into my mind because that's where I went in Florida all the time. And it is a private business. It's open to the public, which means you can walk off the street and come on in, but you're on private land right when you're there. If I don't like your name, what's your last name? Your full last name?
Hovhannisian.
What is that? That's a weird last name. You're European? Get out of here!
Hey. You know, you could refuse service to me.
I don't know. I don't think legally I could do that at that point. But then also that gives people the ways of, like, if someone wants to fire you and they don't want it to be known it's because you're black, they'll like, oh, you broke that thing over there. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You're fired. They'll just make up lies. To get
always
around it.
A counter. You come up with a principle, somebody will find a way around it. But that's always going to happen.
That's my point. Of my principle is so much baser. It's just that if it's your restaurant, you have the right to do it. You see these signs still in restaurants all the time. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. And I just laugh when I see it. It's like, no, you don't. You do not reserve that right. And I mean, unless I'm committing a crime, you can't kick me out of your restaurant. And that's just
actually no. I would disagree. If you're causing a disturbance,
isn't that a crime?
Is that a crime?
Isn't that harassment?
Oh, is it I don't know if that does that fall under
public
crime?
Disturbance?
Oh, okay. Well, if you're causing a disturbance to the owner,
it's not like a felony. I mean, those are
yeah, but like you're causing some ruckus.
Yeah.
It's not involving all the customers, but you're doing something that's disrupting workflow. Yeah. I don't think you should have a problem with kicking anybody. Like, excuse me.
Well,
I work in a restaurant.
I'm sure
I know.
It happens a lot that most people don't care, but I'm saying that because of that principle of I don't know exactly what law it is that says you can't kick out blacks or gays or things.
Discrimination
laws. I don't know what the name of the act is. But because of that act, essentially, you don't have the right to kick people out for your views. And because it's wrong, you shouldn't kick people out because they're black or gay. But in the same right, if someone walks in who's politically motivated against you and you don't like them, I don't see – it's your restaurant. Kick them out. And 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when the South was, you know, very, very anti-black – and even though most blacks lived there and they had like no choice, they couldn't go to people. They couldn't – if they were kicked out of a restaurant, they had no recourse. But now the internet's here. That's changed everything and the laws just have not changed with it. I mean if you want – if you go into a restaurant and you get kicked out because you're gay, I don't think you need the law because now you have YouTube. YouTube is practically the new law. I mean
– yeah.
And go back to the TYT, Young Turks again. They have a good phrase for you. They call it the internet lottery or YouTube lottery. You know, someone will post a viral video of being harassed and suddenly people say, oh, we should help this person. They suddenly just get $1 million for having a YouTube clip up of them
being harassed
or something.
Insane.
And it doesn't happen for everyone. It just happens every once in a while. I'm sure you've probably heard of some things I'm talking about.
I have not heard of some people doing that posting. I know there are overreactions to
things.
There
was a school bus driver, I think it was, and she had a video of the kids like just torturing her, just like calling her names, throwing shit at her.
Oh my goodness.
And people were so sympathetic with the bus driver, they just sent her like thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Really?
Because it happens like only a few people will do it. Oh, let's send her $20. Let's send her $5. But then that's just the nature of the internet. Things take off and suddenly 100,000 people have done it.
Hey, that gives me an idea. No.
But that happens too. How many hoaxes have we seen just this year so far about, oh, my son's, there was just a birthday card posted on the internet. A birthday party invitation that was sent back to the parent. I'm not going to have my girl go to your birthday party because you're gay and your son shouldn't be raised by gay parents.
Wow.
Oh, big outrage. Turns out, it was a hoax.
Really?
By a radio show too, I
that's,
think. Don't worry,
wow,
we won't
that's
do that.
We're, no, we're, no, we're we won't. But I just a quick question about what you said regarding the principle. Could it in some way, this might sound a little arrogant
probably.
Or brash, I don't know, I'm trying not to, but could you establish some kind of a legal precedent maybe and say in certain situations when the restaurateur is acting out of bad faith given the political climate. Like you said, you brought up the KKK example. It's in history, it seems like it's mostly been the case that the KKK has discriminated, white supremacists have discriminated against blacks, and people have largely discriminated against homosexuals. So do you think it's possible in some way you could have a little asterisk for that law?
I know it's possible because that's the law right now.
And just say, hey, because these people are this group, these groups.
That is the law right now.
That is the law.
Those are the protected classes.
Yeah, so you have.
Literally what they're called, protected classes.
Because it's just like, you know, if you're wearing, like you described, if you're a KKK guy wearing a white outfit, you're not supposed to walk in there.
That's the point. They think they should. Right?
They do think they should. Yeah. But you're saying that if we don't defend the larger principle, it's going to collapse on itself?
I just don't like hypocrisy.
Okay.
And we're getting kind of off topic. Let's get back to
Sherbin. Okay, go ahead. You bring him up.
Did you print any of the tweets for him as well?
No, I did not.
Okay, but it's pretty much the same. If you just replace
outraged.
The F word, the F-A-G word with the N-I-G-G word,
yeah.
It's the same exact tweet. Yeah. You're disgusting. You're
yeah.
or the
thug.
The best point. Yeah,
the
thug.
Thug. They use the word thug.
The best point was they brought up the word thug because he has a Glock and he walks. Wait. No, he didn't do that. They call him a thug because he deals drugs. No, he didn't do that either.
Yeah.
They called him a thug because he crashed his Ferrari. No, that was
because
a little
he
white.
Killed somebody.
That was a
no,
little
he
white
didn't.
Boy. He killed some guy. No, that was an old white guy. Why did they call him a thug?
For no reason.
Oh, that's because he raised his voice at a lady.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You don't raise you black guy. Stay in your place. You kick the ball around like we pay you to.
That requires some context. So. I'll present it because I watched the game from start to finish.
I know the context too. Yeah. That's how they're seeing it.
I know that's the problem.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman is one heck of a player. He is a great defensive cornerback. He is intelligent. He can speak really well. He graduated from Stanford. He has a tendency to get really emotional during a game and talk trash, as do a lot of players.
Yeah.
And if you're a defender who's playing against a wide receiver who's really fast, whose job is to catch the ball, you have to find a way to psych them out.
Yeah.
And they do that also. They talk just as much trash as anybody in Sherman's defensive position would. So everybody made, when this game was over, when Richard Sherman made that last play over Michael Crabtree, tipped the ball and it got intercepted. And then I thought what he did with Crabtree was a little stupid. He goes up and he reaches out. And it's like, look, in that moment, you know what you're doing. But he was talking trash to Crabtree because Crabtree was talking trash to him, not only in that game, but in previous meetings. These two teams, the Seahawks and the 49ers, are rivalries. So this happens all the time on the field. And when he got interviewed in that game, after the game, he was responding, according to him, he was responding to remarks from Michael Crabtree that he, as a defensive player, is overrated in some way. So he was responding to that, and he wasn't yelling at Aaron Andrews, who was the ESPN reporter. He was just upset.
Yep.
He wasn't attacking her. He was just yelling at Crabtree when the camera was right here.
Right. Yeah.
And later he apologized because he realized the whole conversation shifted towards him, and it took away from his team's victory, which is what you want everyone to focus on.
I don't know if I wanted him to apologize because I have the same exact problem. His problem is not trash talking because I don't think he doesn't seem like he starts it much. His problem is my problem. He's an escalator. You know, someone calls you a dumbass, and can I say that word? That wasn't on the list.
I guess you can. You got a thumbs up.
If I get called a dumb donkey,
great.
And then I will come back with the F words, the C words, the N word. I'll come back with, I'm an escalator, and that's what it seems like his problem is, too.
Somebody comes at you with a fist, you'll come at him with a knife? I'm using a term, something from a movie, but that's...
Okay. I guess that's my point. So if someone starts to argue with me, I'll suddenly go, and I think that's the Italian in me, oh, you want to argue?
I'm going to start something.
Throw food at them and just start smashing the table. That's the best one. Always hit and pound the podium and the table. That's the best one. So I think that's his problem. So if he apologizes for that, it seems like I should apologize for the same behavior, and I'm not ready to do that.
But he explains, this is the thing about Richard Sherman. He explains it very well.
Yeah.
He goes up.
He's so eloquent.
Yeah, he sits down at that table and he explains himself. And he writes columns for ESPN explaining and talking
Doug
about
columns.
the Huh?
Thug Collins.
Oh, God. Goodness. Yeah. But everybody immediately... And he's the one that brought this point up. He's the one who brought it to attention. He says, I think people are using the word thug instead of using the N-word
yeah,
towards me.
Yeah, and I believe him.
Yeah.
I think
that's
that's
what they're doing.
That's exactly what they did for Trayvon Martin.
Right.
He was a thug because he was in a hoodie.
Exactly.
Even though he was in his own neighborhood.
It's just shameful. It's unbelievable. The way people immediately jump to a conclusion because they want to dislike him. And if another player said that, if they were Caucasian, you don't get a reaction. Yeah,
Justin
like that.
Bieber smashed up a car and
nope.
He's not a thug. He's well, he's Canadian and we want to send him back.
He's misunderstood.
I gotta look up that White House petition. I don't know what happened with that.
Don't start with that.
All right, we'll do that one.
No
later.
Human being deserves that. But
what, deportation back to Canada? That's not nice to Canadians.
But oh my goodness! But yeah,
Go ahead. I don't remember what I wanted to get to. I was going to say something else about.
You want to elaborate on Sherman a little more? You had any points to make about society? And
I did at one point. Then I went to Justin Bieber, and that's the virus of the mind. There, it's like now I just want to punch a little bopper in the face.
Oh, James.
Yeah. Well, the point was, is that yes, I agree that when people called him a thug, they were doing it because that was what I was talking about before. Is when you brush racism under the rug. It's not gone. It's still there. They said, oh, I can't say the N-word in public. All right, I'll call him a thug. And that's exactly what I was talking about before. That's
You're doing the same thing.
When you give someone political correctness rules, they say, okay, how can I be the same ass only using your rules?
Right.
Oh, I can't say the N-word? What word can I say?
Exactly.
Oh, it's just like the conversation about what words can I say on the air. Oh, I can't say that word? Oh, I can still mean he's an N-word, but just say the T-word? Okay, let's do that. They don't care.
You know what? That brings up a good point.
Okay.
Something that I wanted to kind of touch on. We don't have to elaborate on it, but this use of the N-word and such terms, I know we're talking about people tweeting these out to players, but there is an issue that happened a few months ago, and it's been all over ESPN for months and months and months because it was being investigated. Two NFL players... essentially harassing each other. Well, one harassing the other. These two best friends, as I mentioned to you.
Oh, yeah.
The gentleman's name, Martin and Incognito. John Martin, I think.
Funny name.
And Richie Incognito. Martin being the black player and Incognito being the white player. It's incredible that all these two are best friends and all these tweets and texts about doing this to one's mother and the N-word this and... F you that were being sent constantly between the two, especially from Incognito. And there were two other players. I forgot their names. I didn't know I was going to get into this. But they were two black players who were also harassing.
Calling him the N-word.
Anything that they can throw out. Because,
but that was part of it.
Yeah. But Martin felt that he was being harassed so much, that he was so hurt by it, that he decided to remove himself from team activities. And Incognito, subsequently, his suspension followed as a result. Here is the thing. It seems this is interesting to me. These types of words, these types of exchanges happen all the time in the locker room.
Yeah.
I've played sports. It's happened in the locker room when I was playing sports.
It happens all the time.
These guys are often so comfortable with each other that they don't care about, oh, he's black, he's white, he's... No, they just mess around so much because they're comfortable. And Incognito and the other two gentlemen said they did not realize how badly it was going to hurt Martin. Yeah. Now, I agree. Martin had every right to be upset, and good for him. He doesn't like it. He's going to walk out. I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I applaud him. But when the media reacts like they need to go in there and give everybody a bar of soap to wash out their mouths, and I'm like, guys, this is the dark side. This is a side that you don't want to admit to. Mm. These guys play hard every single week. They want to loosen up, and they're going to throw nasty words to each other. That does not necessarily mean that they hate each other.
Right.
In fact, they love each other a lot. That's why they're willing to get hit in the head for that.
It makes me wonder, though, because I agree exactly with what you're saying, is that when there's a level of comfort, you start insulting each other playfully. That's just play. And all
you and I do it to each other all the time.
Well, it's because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You never agree with me. You don't know what you're talking about. He'll get me back later. Don't worry. But anyways, It's a Prius. I don't know how much can explode in a Prius.
Oh, touche on that one.
Anyways, I'm surprised that he felt, or they felt so comfortable with him as to razz him like that, but he felt so uncomfortable that he couldn't even just go to the coach and say, hey, tell these guys to quit it. Why was it so disproportionate?
I don't know why, but there is something that I understand this from personal experience of growing up a sensitive person. And so I know it's hard to believe now because of my weird sense of humor, but sometimes you feel like if you go up to the person in charge, that all they're going to do is add to it or say, hey, suck it up, like the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. Just like, hey, stop complaining. So Private Pyle in that movie was the one who was slowing the whole crew down.
Right.
And he was like, Pyle, you're a piece of this and that. Mm. You need to get with it. And they all beat him up to get him in line. And then they became insane.
Yeah, to put it mildly.
Well, yeah. But I feel like that happens with some players where if Martin
is there some line, though, where that's okay? I mean, is there a place where you can say, well, just suck it up?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I would think there actually is because, like you said, like we were both saying, everyone plays in private when you're comfortable with each other. And if someone can't do that, to an extreme, now I'm not saying that happens all the time, but you could make a case for that. If you are never participating in that and you're always sensitive, you're kind of antisocial in like a disorder type way.
It could be.
I mean, part of the human condition is play. Whether it's D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, which people want to make fun for, even though they go home and they play the football version of it. Fantasy football, I'm sorry, is just Dungeons and Dragons.
No, you're right. I don't have any
for
contention.
Cis males. That's CIS. That's a new word I learned. I don't like it, but that happens. You know, straight macho guys is what it means. If you played fantasy football, you're playing like a nerd.
So
everyone does it.
I confess. I have played it before. I don't play it anymore, but you're right.
Yeah. Everyone plays, so when someone can't jump into that, you can make a case that this guy was maybe literally objectively too sensitive.
You could, and it certainly seems odd.
I don't know anything else.
That's what I don't know about him, but I understand where he's coming from and how if the coach, sometimes players, some coaches are like father figures to players. They will go up to them, talk, are you okay? What happened? Talk to me. Mano y mano. Some coaches are more authoritarian and they don't have time, they say, for that. So I don't know what went on, but I felt bad for him because a lot of people were saying, hey, if you can't take it, leave the NFL. But you know what? Maybe he doesn't have to. On the flip side, this is what these locker rooms are like. Yeah. And my concern is that the media is overly outraged.
No, always do.
Always. But just, guys, this is what
happens. This is a good segue, though. So something else, and this was what I want to mention about Sherman, too. And it's a good segue into sensitivity, oversensitivity in the media, because I don't think it's just the media. The media always gives us what we want.
Right.
It's always, we're the problem most of the time. Media is a big problem. One of the comments I read about Sherman was, you're a disgusting piece of crap human being. And that's not crap that the word used. And that language doesn't shock me. I use that language actually a lot when I'm talking about politicians.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, the Westboro Baptist Church. You're pieces of crap, human beings, and I wish you were not on the planet. You know, you
strong opinions there.
You make me realize what Mark Twain was talking about when I never wished a man dead, but I delighted many obituaries.
Oh, wow.
There are people who will get you that emotional response. Westboro Baptist Church, you are piece of crap people. And I don't mean the C word. I want to say the word, but I can't. So it really shocked me to my core, not the language, that this was being applied to a football player.
Right.
The dude throws around a pigskin for an hour and then says, I'm the greatest, which is what Ali said, funny enough. And everyone's like, you're a piece of crap human being. Really? That they are in Wall Street now pissing on us almost literally because they took our money. There are people bombing abortion clinics, murdering homosexuals in Africa. In Russia, they're still imprisoning journalists. And not our journalists, ironically enough. And this guy is a piece of crap. You are either way too sensitive or willfully ignorant of the world. And I hope that is just
It's a bit of both, it seems,
maybe
does it not?
Is. I just hope that most NFL fans, I mean, most of the time that's the stereotypical, you know, character of an NFL fan. They don't know anything about politics or money. They just, go, go, team. And, you know, they're eating their corn chips and revving their big engines because that's what stereotypical jocks do in America, right?
Right.
But
well,
I don't think that's the case. But when I hear things like this, I'm like, is your head really that far up your butt that you could think this is a piece of crap human being? I mean, call him an ass. Sure. Was he a little ass word-ish that I can't say in the radio?
Yeah, he was. He came off as a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah, sure. Say that. That is fun. A piece of crap human being? And I know it sounds silly because I'm saying piece of crap, but that's not what they said. I mean, it's funny how that one word from crap to S-H-I-T, that actually makes a big difference when you say piece of blank human being.
Oh, no, I know.
There's a lot of emotion behind that specific phrase, piece of blank human being.
I think it's all tied to what you said earlier, that resentment.
Yeah.
This is not just, oh, I don't like what you did as a player. This is, I don't like you as a person and as an ethnic, as a race.
Which also doesn't make sense because, like I said, there's way worse people out there.
I know.
It reminds me of Louis C.K. That's the guy's name. I think I say it C.K. Lewis too many times. But Louis C.K., he said the same thing. We use the word awesome too much. Really awesome? That's a bag of Doritos. What are you going to do when something actually awesome happens? What
I
are you going
that
to
one.
Say?
Yeah.
So that's what I was. That's the first thing I thought of. He's a piece of crap human being. What could you possibly say about the politicians in Congress right now who are deliberately screwing us? What word could you possibly? The N word? I don't know. I mean, the C word. How many words that I can't say on the radio could I say to these if piece of crap human being is applied to a boisterous football player?
You couldn't get that much emotion out of them when you talk about politics at all, because they're not paying
heads would explode if they actually saw what the real bad guys of the world were like.
Yeah, they wouldn't have any answer for it.
All right, well let's press on to another issue because we're already 40 minutes into the show. We're doing a longer show, and we're testing out whether or not we want to do this all the time if we can. So definitely, if you're listening, remember facebook.com, look up And Another Thing KPCR. Like the page, share the page. Sharing is actually the most important thing because apparently that's been coming to light. Facebook is not showing us all the stuff from all our friends. Are you aware of that?
Aware of, sorry, say that again. I'm
like, if you like 100 friends, they're not all in your news feed.
Yeah,
they're
the
ones you interact with. So you're actually missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of becomes that paradox of why don't you play this song on the radio? Because no one listens to it on the radio. That's because you don't play it on the radio.
Yeah, you don't even play it on the radio.
So so you have to share our page, otherwise no one will actually see it. So please share that.
And you could tweet James.
Also on Twitter, James2012. I am on there. I'm always, uploading my random thoughts there. So definitely comment there. And share and tell us if you like the hour format or not. Maybe you just can't stand us that long. I don't know. I'm getting kind of itchy with Robert. He's too much Robert right now.
Cool. Thank you. I also have a Twitter now.
Oh, do you?
I had various ones, but I never use them. But mine is Robert_AAT.
You have an underscore? Mine's way better.
I know. But it's Robert_AAT at twitter.com. And you can send suggestions, actually, what kind of topics you would like to hear.
No,
let's
good
discuss.
Idea.
And if some
Facebook
of you would like to be a guest on...
Yeah, sure, why not? We'll beat you up.
And then be... Yeah, exactly. James is bad cop. Robert's good cop.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. That's what he wants.
That's what
think.
I'm
that's
trying
what sleep
to
at
portray.
Night. All right, let's get on to the next topic. I wanted to bring up money in sports. And let's go into the NFL first, because these are the figures that really blow my mind. And now, talking about piece of crap people, right? Imagine someone who is a billionaire, a millionaire, because that is what the NFL is, and they still seek handouts. Now, the right wing always likes to say, oh, that guy in the corner, he's making a living asking for money. Don't give him money. He actually has a job. He just wants it. That's not true.
Right.
Those guys in the corner, they need your help. Guess who doesn't need your help? The NFL. They do not. They made, listen, $10 billion to $15 billion a year is how much they make in revenues.
Top grossing, I think, in all the major sports.
Is it really?
That, I think, that, that yeah. They're the,
me. Oh, I know this. It probably is. Now, I didn't... this is a guess. I'll look it up later. I'm going to guess the top grossing of all nonprofit organizations. Because that's what it is. The NFL is a, quote, nonprofit organizations.
Right. Totally.
And I was just talking to someone else. Why do all these nonprofits get to call themselves nonprofits? Because they take what would be the profits and they just give them to their people, which is why the commissioner of the NFL makes $30 million a year.
Right.
So that
makes a lot of money.
Yeah, I was saying that to a friend who works at a university. He's like, we're a university. There's not much money here. We're nonprofit. I'm like, yeah, tell me how much the dean gets of that nonprofit there. Yeah, there's nonprofit left for the company.
Yeah.
But your workers get a lot. And probably not all, most of the workers, just the guys at the top.
Only the people up. Yeah, you're right.
And this is going around because a lot of people want to tax the NFL. They're already taxed on a lot of things like their revenue stream from tickets. But supposedly they're not taxed on certain assets that have to do with the actual organization itself. I don't know how much that works. That's just something to think about. I don't really care too much about the taxation point. And that's probably going to surprise me because I'm always like one of those tax the wealthy type people. But in this case, if they're taxing the revenue already, I don't seem to care. The problem that I get is when they want to do all these big projects, which I actually don't mind because I actually kind of like stadiums. They're big cathedrals and they look cool to me.
Yeah, especially
I mean, I grew up in
New building,
York.
They're building
Yankee Stadium
crazy
was was a landmark. It's gone now. And because of profits, it's gone now.
Fenway is a landmark. Wrigley is
a lot of good baseball parks are landmarks. I love stadiums. I love being with people like that. I don't like how when a team suddenly decides, you're going to give us $500 million or we're going to leave the state, which is what some sports teams – in California, that's happened a bunch of times.
It could actually be happening now with the St. Louis Rams.
Oh, is it?
There have been talks. I don't know if this is going to go through, but there have been talks that – they might move them back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's almost exploitation. Is that the word? Extortion. Extortion at that point where you say, you're going to build us a brand new stadium where we're leaving when they kind of depend on that for revenue for
exactly.
All the people coming to the games. And then even when they do it willingly, like, we want you to stay and here's some money, it comes out of, like, they cities that have debts and states that have debts, because it wasn't just the country that tanked last few years. The states themselves were bankrupt also.
Yeah.
I think California is actually in the green for once right now, but for the last 4 years, it was in the red. It was in debt. So when, let's see, the Minnesota Vikings, Minnesota gave them $500 million to build a stadium. Minnesota's in debt by like a few billion dollars. Not trillion dollars, the country.
No, yeah.
They're in debt by like $1 billion.
Yeah.
So giving them $500 million, which I'm sure could go to the homeless in Minnesota, the roads in Minnesota, that $500 million for a stadium, and this isn't like, oh, well, they need to build a stadium. That's half the cost of the stadium. The other one was the Dallas Cowboys. They were given $325 million to build their stadium in the nearby city of Arlington, I think it was. And that stadium also cost like $500 million to $1 billion.
That stadium was probably, I think, in the billion range.
Was it? Yeah.
That's one of the most.
So we're not even paying the whole thing.
Yeah.
So my point is maybe you should stop lining the seats with gold. Maybe you should stop putting valets everywhere. You know, cut the actual, you know, the Republicans say we need to cut services. No, I kind of like having welfare there for the poor and for me if I need it. I don't think I need a $1 billion stadium. Because the funny thing about Yankee Stadium, which kind of upset me, even though I'm not a sport fan, it's because it was the house that Ruth built. It was there for like 80 years, I think.
I don't know the official number, but yeah,
it was
probably
a landmark, and I've been there dozens of times, and my brother was probably there hundreds of times.
I missed my chance. I really wanted to go there.
It was gorgeous. They tore it down, and they built the new park right next door. And the new park has fewer seats. But do you know what makes it so special? It has more box seats. They took out middle-class seats, and they put up private luxury boxes, so they know what they're doing. So, oh, it's a landmark and everyone loves it? No, we don't care. We just want the money. So the point is that we shouldn't have to pay for that. Because that's not their goal, isn't to enrich the society. They're not saying, oh, we'll bring a team and it'll boost your economy. No, they just want to make money, and we shouldn't have to pay for them to make money. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they pay those bonds back. I don't care if they do, because if I have negative $1,000, Robert, and you, Robert, say, I really need $50 and I'm going to pay you back. Let me see. Let me pull out my wallet here.
What does negative look like?
What does negative $1,000 looks like? Because I don't have it in my wallet.
Right. I don't even have it. It's metaphysical.
If I had $1,000 positive, maybe I'd help you build that stadium. So that's one reason I don't like it.
By the way, just quickly to your point about that, I think one of the discussions has been lately that the audience that is the spectators that are going to NFL stadiums, not baseball, not basketball, NFL strictly, has been declining because
of TV?
Because the TV experience is incredible. Because when you sit in your living room and you watch that, yeah, you're not there, you're not experiencing all the sounds, but you see all the replays on time. You get to watch every angle. You get to sit in your comfort zone. Whereas in some of the stadiums, it's freezing. Mm-hmm. You go, like, this past the playoffs this year, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Green Bay Packers, had trouble selling out.
That's funny.
And Green Bay never has trouble selling out. That is a landmark team and a landmark, like, it's just, that's football.
Maybe it was because of that's the cyclone.
I don't know, but they're thinking, one of the thought processes is that maybe the stadium experience is just not good anymore.
Well, you have a bigger TV in your house.
That's why, and that's why I think they're trying to compensate for things like this by saying, hey, let's build the Death Star of the stadium. and then we'll get
everything. I'd go to that stadium.
But it seems like that experience is declining. It surprises me, but I think that's one of the small factors into that. But go ahead. What was the second? You said they had another issue.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's quickly touch on that, because it's okay that we only have 5 minutes for this one, because I'm not too sure what I think about it. Basically, the problem is that in high school football, the rate for getting a concussion is way higher than the NFL and even college. And you know that, what's that show out that we were talking about?
Oh, the
Baby
name.
Football
yeah,
Kids.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm talking about. It's a reality show of
disturbing.
Peewee, not even like high school, peewee football, where these kids are slamming into each other.
And the coaches are yelling
coaches
at them
to
do it.
At them. And the problem I have with this is a systemic one, which what I mean is that, yes, I understand the counter arguments that you're going to have injuries in sports.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen.
Bar none.
I mean, I was a hiker. I got injuries. I climbed a mountain, nearly died, all that good stuff. I mean, you do physical
I gotta hear this
stuff.
Story.
You do physical stuff, you're going to be in danger. That's the point of doing physical stuff most of the time, is to get that adrenaline going. The problem I have with it is doing it with kids who literally, and this is true for high school kids too. How old are you, Robert? 23?
I'm 25.
Oh, 20, oh, are you that old?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I am old.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyways.
I'm a quarter.
I think you just completed making your brain. I believe
I
think that's how that works.
Uh-oh.
Like 23 to 24, your brain is like done. You know, ding, you're ready to come out of the oven. Unfortunately for you, that's when most people are graduating.
Yeah, right.
Makes
sense. I should have read more when I was a kid.
So my problem with this is that you can make an argument maybe for senior, junior football, and definitely college football. But I think peewee football, middle school, I think it actually should be banned. I'm open to an argument for football in high school maybe. But kids who are literally making their brains, like they're not just like reading, and this isn't reading rainbow. This isn't a metaphor. They're literally building their brains. Humans are birthed way too early because our brains are too big. That's just the property of human physiology. So when you take that, a brain that's making itself, and you smash it into another brain, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's a horrible collision.
Brain damage, and at least the algebra you just learned that week is not in your head anymore. It sounds simplistic, but memories and learning is stored in our neurons, and if you smash those neurons together, you lose your memory.
But here's the thing, though. I agree. I actually am coming to that side of the argument.
Yeah.
I'm seeing, you know, you don't, there is only so much you can do when you're running really fast. Physics doesn't allow you to stop in the air and say, you know, I think I'm going to move my head to the left.
Yeah.
I wish it did, but it doesn't. So you know these kids are going to collide. But the thing
that's the point of the game.
That scares me is that the language that's being used to propel them to do this, take their heads off.
Yeah, kill them.
You don't
take
need
them out.
To say that.
Yeah.
You can explain a strategy to them so they're not so aggressive like a dog with foaming in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'd be more open to the argument, hey, you know, danger is going to be there. But yeah, if you're actually saying, hey, don't try to smash too hard, danger is going to happen, just be. But they're not saying that. They're saying, go out there and smash your heads together.
There are techniques that you use, but still.
Isn't that even illegal, actually smashing someone with their head?
I don't know, but that you oh yes,
like literally just ramming your head into their head.
You are not allowed to use your helmet to knock somebody down.
Yeah,
you can't use your helmet. Because
and we're
then,
encouraging high school and peewee football players to do that.
It's dangerous. So I'm starting to see that this is horrible for kids. I wouldn't want, if I had a son, or I wouldn't want him to play peewee if that's going to happen.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, we need a, maybe you're too young for this, but the This Is Your Brain on Drugs ad. You
remember
that
I've
with the frying pan? We need one of those where This Is Your Brain. I'm holding up an egg. This is radio. We're going to go back to the 30s. I'm going to be describing it. I'm holding up an egg, and this is football. I hold up a pan, And instead of putting it on the oven, I just put the egg on the table, and I smashed the crap out of the egg with the pan. That's football on your brain there.
You know what? It took them long enough, though. I just have to say, it's amazing that with logic, you can understand that if your brains collide, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah,
so, took them forever to accept that.
Like I said, I'm still up in the air that maybe an argument for high school. But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to me, who knows nothing about sports, but Robert, he knows stuff. About.
I know about sports.
You've been listening to KPCRadio.com. This has been And Another Thing. I'm James.
I'm Robert.
Thanks, and catch us next week.